this out of the way. Just get plugged in. Had my hair cut yesterday for you. Adrienne didn't mention it. Well, she's all right. Yeah. I always have to say, oh, your hair looks lovely, Adrienne. I get my hair cut. Complete silence. It's terrible, isn't it? I love you. I love you so much. Thank you very much, Dave. That is great. And a big thanks to Dave, because Dave's heart really is mentoring and seeing people move on to that next level and to grow in Christ. And that's really what we're about. I remember years ago, Dave remembers in the car saying, what do you love about leadership? And Dave saying is that seeing people move on to that next level. So it's great. And that's partly what the small groups is about. It's about helping each other to grow in Christ and enabling us as a community to grow. And that's kind of touching on what I'm going to be sharing about myself, growing together on earth as it is in heaven. If you want to turn to Matthew chapter 6, let's get into the Bible, because we love the Bible. Let's get into that one. And a big thank you to Adrienne and Andrew as well, who have spent some time with Dave just discussing some of these things and putting things together. And I'm excited because I know what the groups are going to be. So I'm excited, yes. So if you want to offer me a fiver a bit later on, I'll let you know what the groups are. Oh, no, that's corruption. We don't allow that. I've been reading a couple of books over the holidays. It's been brilliant. Two books. One is by Graham Cook, Approaching the Heart of Prophecy. There's a guy who's really into, and I love this book. I did it because I wanted to get into prophecy more. But actually, this book is about character. It's about how to develop a Christian character. And I've learned so much about growing as a Christian by reading this book. So I'd really recommend this book. It's superb. And I'm a highlighter guy, so don't lend me a book, whatever you do, because I've got like highlighters all over the place. This book, look how much highlighting's in there. Okay, and this is Hannah's book, written by a guy called Graham Tomlin, who is the dean or somebody or other of St. Melitus and the bishop of somewhere or other, and Holy Trinity Brompton. And it is an awesome book about evangelism through the community, through as a community. And I've learned so much from that book, about how to evangelize as a community. And there's tons of stuff, and I'll be quoting them in the next 10 minutes or so. Okay. Graham Cook says this: church is not a place we go to. Church is not a place we go to. It is who we are together. And I would add how we are together. Who we are together. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6. You will know it. You won't even need to turn to it. Matthew chapter 6. Buried there right in the Sermon on the Mount, which the context of the Sermon on the Mount is community, church community. It's talking about how we relate to one another and to those around us and how we live out our Christian life. I've read through from Romans. I'm not showing off now. I've been skimming and scanning, I suppose. From Romans, I'm up to 1-2 John. Nearly got there. I wanted to get to Jude and say I've got all the way to Jude and I haven't yet. But every aspect of what Paul says and Peter says and James says and John says is this: how do we live our lives? How do we live out this Christian life? Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I love this prayer of Jesus because it starts with that amazing word, our. Our Father. Jesus doesn't say my Father. He doesn't teach us to say my Father. He doesn't say your Father. He doesn't say dear Father of Jesus. But he says, start it like this, our Father. We who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord are children of the living God and can call him Abba Father. Romans chapter 8. Verse 15 and 16. Okay, I'm going to write these down and try and learn them off by heart. We cry. It says this: we cry, not you cry, not I cry. We cry, Abba Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. We are called not just to Father God, but we are called by Jesus as a church community together to Father God, under the loving rule of Father God. And it isn't always easy, because we're all a bit different. We all have our personalities. Some of us are introverts. Some of us are extroverts. And then God gets us to get married. And then there's all kinds of problems. And you grow together, don't you? How do you learn patience? By burying yourself away and never coming into contact with anybody ever again. No. What film is it with Morgan Freeman in? He says that he's... Is it the Noah's Ark one, isn't it? He says, how do you learn patience? God puts you into a place where you need patience and with people that you need to be patient with. How do you become loving? You know, when Jesus says, love your enemies, is that for the benefit of the enemies? I think it's more for your benefit. Love your enemies. You learn how to love when you're amongst people that it's tough to love. Not looking at anybody in this room at all. But God puts us together in community to grow. And we can do it because, next line, next part, our Father in heaven. And that doesn't mean, and I always thought it meant, our Father in heaven is way up there somewhere, a long way away from me, so he must be so holy. But what it means is our Father in the place of authority. Jesus said to the disciples when they came back after ministering, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. It is from that place of authority that God, our Father, is able to enable us to become everything that we're called to be. Hallowed be thy name. God is holy. He calls us to be holy. Because he's in heaven, that place of authority and power. Therefore, he is able to do in us and through us everything that he wants to happen in our lives. Everything he wants us to become is possible. Because we come to our Father and he enables us to do that in the workplace, in the family, in the home. Does anybody ever fall out with their family? No. Yeah. You can only say because Chris isn't here. We need to pray for Chris. He's not so good. But anyway, we need, you know, I've been reading, Mark will laugh at this. I've been reading David and Goliath. I love David and Goliath. It's the best story in the Bible. Read David and Goliath. It is awesome. And you know what? Within David, there wasn't just one Goliath. I don't know if you know that. There wasn't just one Goliath. There was another Goliath called Eliab, who was David's older brother. And David rocks up to the battle lines and he sees this Philistine coming out threatening Israel. And he starts asking about it. And Eliab, his older brother, says, who do you think you are? It says he got angry with David. And Eliab calls him conceited. It's there in the Bible. He says, you're conceited. He says, you are wicked. He calls David, you're a wicked person. Have you ever been slagged off at work, do you think, behind your back at times, maybe? Do you think maybe somebody's been a little bit cruel to you in the past? Maybe people have said things to you. And Eliab, his older brother, says, go back to the wilderness and look after your few sheep. That's what it says in the Bible there, 1 Samuel. David had to slay that Goliath if he was going to do what he was being called to do. And then he goes to Saul. And Saul says, you're too young, you can't do this. He had to slay that Goliath. And then Saul tries to put his armor on him. He had to slay that Goliath. And David had to say no to the king. No, I'm going to go out the way that God has called me to go out. And he goes out because he knew that his Father was in heaven. He could do it. Amen. Praise God indeed. Praise God indeed. Turn to John 17, verse 20 to 23. Trying to be quick, but I know Wendy's signing, so I have to be careful. Not that you're slow at signing, No. 20:23 says, this is Jesus praying, and this is his last prayer. This is in Gethsemane, his last prayer before he's getting arrested. So it's pretty important. And he says this, I pray for those who will believe in me through their message, meaning the disciples, meaning the community, meaning the church. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Verse 23, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me. See, what Jesus is saying here is that a community that is united, that is strong, that is together, is an evangelistic powerhouse, is a witness to others. It's the quality of our community together that will impact our growth as a church. William Beckham, who was is dead now, but he was a bishop somewhere in America, and he said this, the New Testament church knew the most powerful witness was the community of believers living in the presence, power, and purpose of Christ. through the imperfection, I'll say that again, through the imperfection, praise God, through the imperfection of Christians, God reveals his power. Whoa. I think, yeah, thank you, Lord. Through my imperfections and the things that I think, oh, Lord, I've done it again, God can reveal his power to those who observe. As we meet in church, as we meet in prayer, as we meet in small groups, as we meet in ministry teams and in friendships, our Father in heaven moves amongst us. And one of the key questions I'd like us all to ask ourselves is, why did you become a Christian? What attracted you to Christianity? I'll give you a minute to think. And you might want to say, well, the right answer should be Jesus. But actually, you know, it's not a squirrel. The answer for me was this. It was the community. I grew up in the United Reformed Church, and the people there were just so loving. There was something about those people. Some people here fell in love with somebody who was a Christian. There's something about them. And I know when I was growing up in the United Reformed Church, I was quite a shy person. It's amazed me, really, that I'm standing here. It's amazed me that I'm doing the job I'm doing and, you know, and where God has led me. But I was a very shy person, lacking a lot of confidence. I do still do at times, lack confidence. But there were people there that believed in me, that supported me, that came alongside me, that loved me, that cared for me. Jean Martin, God bless her. Norman Martin, Bill Bug. Mrs. White, who's now with the Lord. There was me, Louise, and Mrs. White in the vestry at the back of the United Reformed Church learning about Jesus. And I came to OCF, and there was Dave hugging people. I'm used to that. I'm from down south. You don't hug people. And he's hugging people. I thought, I like this. This is all right. And get a hug off Dave Love. I've said it before, haven't I? People who loved me, accepted me. People who prayed with me to be filled with the Holy Spirit. People who helped me through the rubbish things I've got myself into. We sang a song there about shame. You know, people who have stuck with me through my shame. That's the community of the church of the living God. People who stick with you through your shame and through your joys and through your celebrations. In Acts chapter 2, we see 3,000 people giving their life to Jesus. That's a good meeting, isn't it? 3,000 people giving their lives to Jesus. But what first interested them wasn't the fantastic speech by Peter. Because it says in verse 12, they were amazed and perplexed, and they asked one another, what does this mean? And it was after they had observed the community of people, the community of God's people, worshiping and praising God in other languages. What does this mean? We as a church are called to go out and provoke a question. And the question we are called to provoke is, what does this mean? In this age of austerity and a lack of hope and everybody being backbiting and criticizing and hurting and harming, here is a community of people that love one another no matter what. Amen. What does this mean? And then we have the answer that Peter had. It means Jesus. Because I tell you what, I can't love people without his power and his ability to move through me. We are called to be a provocative church through the quality of our relationships, the love we have for one another, the support we give, the hope we bring makes us stand out from the rest of the world and causes those who don't yet believe to ask, what does this mean? I love being on our leadership team, me and Andrew and Dave and Adrian. And for those of you who know us, we have different personalities on the leadership team. And do you know that verse, iron sharpens iron? I do love that verse. It's great, isn't it? And we have different personalities. We have different gifts. We have different agendas. We read different books. But what I love about our leadership team is that we love one another. And we were saying this. I mean, Dave was saying it on when we met this week. He said, it's good to be together again. It really is. What you need to know that you are led by a leadership team that first and foremost, we love one another. I love Dave and Andrew and Dave and Adrienne. That was a dramatic pause there. Did you see that? It was a comedy pause. But I love you.
I know you do.
Yeah, I do. And do you know what else? We have a laugh sometimes as well. And we can be talking about some quite intense things. You know, we're discussing the sort of the future of the church and eternity. But we also have a laugh. Now, every now and again, there'll be a little bit of a, usually at somebody's expense or usually at Adrian's expense. Or it might be at my expense. Or whatever it is. But now and again, there's a little bit of a titter, which is nice. I like that. And when you get into your small groups, you'll find that you'll be moving forward and you'll be growing and you'll be having a laugh. And I tell you, there are millions of people out there. They need a laugh. Mm-hmm. We are called to be a kingdom of joy. Yeah, that's right. There are millions of people out there who want to be in a community that will support and strengthen them. 1 Samuel 23, verse 16. I tried to look for this before and I couldn't. 1 Samuel 23, verse 16. Just discovered this. Well, I've read it before, but you know, sometimes things just stand out to you. And it was when David is in hiding from Saul, and he learned that Saul had come out to take his life again. And the scriptures tell us this. It says this: Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. Don't be afraid, he said. Are you sitting next to your Jonathan? Because we all need Jonathans. You may be sitting next to yours. You may be talking to them over a cup of coffee, maybe in a small group. None of us are so strong or have lives that are so easy that we don't ever need someone to help us find strength in God. That's my beard now. Just for the sake of the tape, that was my beard. Yeah. And what's fantastic is that, yeah, Jonathan helped David find strength, but then a little bit later on, David is at Ziklag. You know the story of Ziklag? Mm-hmm. And at Ziklag, David returns to Ziklag, and the Amalekites have taken away their wives and their children and plundered the camp. And the men, it says they were bitter in spirit and they wanted to stone David. And it says, and David found strength in the Lord his God. And I wonder if he'd learned something from Jonathan. And we as a community are here to grow so that we can learn from one another and so that we can learn from the Lord through one another. Who we are is more important than what we do. Because what we do is affected by who we are. If we're resentful, bitter, critical, then what we do will be affected by that. It will colour it. If we are joyful, cheerful, generous, kind and forgiving, then what we do will be coloured by that. And our witness is not in what we do, because there's millions of people there out there who are not born again. They're doing fantastic things. But it's in how we do it and who we are pointing to, not by our deeds, but by our way of life as a community who worship God and give him glory. John 13, Jesus says, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. What was the this? The this was love one another, love one another. Love one another. And as I read through the letters again and again, I say, come on, I've got it already. Come on. Love one another. Love one another. Love one another. Love one another. It's just non-stop. I mean, highlighter pens out there says, I love one another. Love one another. And I've got, my Bible's just got so much highlighter in it now. Look at that. Deary me. Some of you haven't fit now. But I love doing it. And in terms of your spiritual practices, I would suggest have a go at doing that. Yeah, it's a good thing to do. God is calling us to be a community that strengthens one another. I love Graham Tomlin says this, and I'm going to finish with this. We are to be a community in which individually and together people are being transformed to being more like, yes, Jesus. More like Jesus, more generous, humble, joyful, and alive. I'm going to say that again because I interrupted myself. Graham Tomlin says this: we are to be a community in which individually and together people are being transformed to being more like Jesus, more generous, humble, joyful, and alive. And alive. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So next week I'm going to be talking about the three things that God is leading us as a church into this coming year. I've got a really beautiful picture I'm going to put up there and anyway, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be really good. And I'm going to be sharing about that. And then about how it all fits together, because it's been fantastic. As a leadership team, we sort of got together and we said, right, these are the things that we believe that God is leading us into this coming year. Then I go off to New Wine. That's always dangerous, sending somebody to New Wine, because they come back with something completely different. And, oh, no. And everything, it didn't surprise me. I went to the early morning meetings, an amazing Bible teacher called Nicola Moy, one of the best Bible teachers I've ever heard. And she was preaching on Ezra. I get back. What's Sam been preaching about? Ezra. And then Tom goes and preaches about Nehemiah. I think, oh, maybe God's in this. And so I'm going to be touching on that next week. It's absolutely awesome. And you go along, and everything at New Wine was just a confirmation of what God has been saying to us already. Everything I've read has been a confirmation of what. So I think God's in this. I think there's something exciting going to happen in this church next year, this coming year. And I'm so excited about what God is going to do in you and in me. God wants to grow us and lead us. So we're going to pray right now. I'm going to invite the kids' church to come back, and we're going to pray for James and Ethan as well, because I know Ethan's starting high school. Has anybody else starting high school? No, university or anything like that? No courses, anything like that? Right, let's pray. Father God, I thank you that your kingdom is a joyful kingdom. I thank you, Lord God, that your kingdom is a kingdom that we can trust, because you're a king that we can trust. I thank you that as we step out in this year, you call us to do it not on our own, but together. I thank you, Lord God, that you want to do a work within us which will enable us to love more deeply, to be able to care and support one another. As we move into small groups, Lord, you want us to move into that next level, to know what it is to get deeper into you and to grow. Because that's our desire. We don't want to stay in the same place but be transformed. We desire an increasing glory in our lives, Lord Jesus, and that you would overcome fear. That you would overcome fear. That you would overcome fear as we trust in you and whatever Goliaths we are facing. That you would overcome fear because we trust in the living God, the Lord of the armies of Israel. We trust in our living God. We trust in the power of prayer because it brings us a living God, who is powerful and who is mighty and wants to move this afternoon. We pray, Lord, as we pray before, for your present presence. For your present presence. Not a presence that we once knew or a presence that we hope to know, but your present presence which we know now. In Jesus' name, amen. So if the parents could get the children,